Imagine a crowded subway car filled with people glued to their smartphones. Amid the chaos sits a woman with eyes closed and a subtle smile, an island of tranquility. What does she know that others don't? For 2,500 years, Buddhism has offered a radical proposition. We are all mentally ill. Not as an insult, but as a starting point for healing. What makes Siddhartha's brain revolutionary is how it bridges ancient wisdom with cutting-edge neuroscience, revealing that the Buddha was essentially the world's first neuroscientist. As mental health crises surge globally despite rising prosperity, this ancient wisdom feels more relevant than ever. The book explores how meditation practices discovered by Siddhartha Gautama can rewire our brains, offering a path to well-being that modern science is only beginning to understand. Born to wealth and privilege, Siddhartha Gautama lived in a carefully constructed bubble where palace guards prevented him from encountering sickness, aging, or death. But reality eventually broke through. During chariot rides, he encountered an old man, a sick man, and finally a corpse. His charioteer explained that these fates awaited everyone. No wealth could prevent them. That night, after dancers entertained him, Siddhartha awoke to find them asleep, some drooling, some snoring. Looking at his sleeping wife and newborn son, he saw only the trap of inevitable decay and fled to become a wandering ascetic. Despite modern advances, self-reported happiness hasn't increased in 50 years. Our evolutionary brain wiring works against us. The survival-focused reward system makes us prone to addiction, while our fight-or-flight response triggers chronic stress. Even distinctly human traits like language enable a wandering mind, which Harvard research shows occurs 47% of the time and actively reduces happiness. As a child, Siddhartha found profound peace meditating beneath a tree during a spring ceremony. Years later, after nearly dying from extreme asceticism, he recalled this childhood experience as key to enlightenment. This natural meditative state transcends cultures. Herbert Benson's research showed meditation reverses fight-or-flight responses, what he termed the relaxation response. Studies reveal meditation suppresses inflammation and stress-related genes while boosting energy metabolism and DNA repair, potentially slowing cellular aging through increased telomerase activity. In childhood meditation, Siddhartha discovered rapture and pleasure born from seclusion. He recognized that pleasure without bodily craving could be wholesome, suggesting a middle path between denial and indulgence. Beneath a fig tree, he vowed to remain until achieving enlightenment, declaring, "Let my skin and sinews and bones dry up. I will not stir from this seat until I have attained the supreme and absolute wisdom." His enlightenment yielded the four noble truths: suffering exists, attachment causes it, it can end, and the noble eightfold path leads to liberation. He described pain's two components: the physical sensation, first dart, and our emotional reaction, second dart. While the first is unavoidable, the second is optional, a principle central to mindfulness-based pain management. In the 1980s, Jon Kabat-Zinn's Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction, MBSR, showed chronic pain patients achieved lasting improvements in pain management and reduced anxiety, depression, and medication use despite unchanged pain intensity. Brain imaging reveals novice meditators can reduce pain unpleasantness by 57% after just 4 20-minute sessions. Experienced meditators develop bottom-up processing, directly experiencing sensations without judgment, aligning with Buddhist teaching of viewing all sensations with equanimity. Studies show people find being alone with thoughts so unbearable that many prefer electric shocks to sitting quietly for 15 minutes. This illustrates meditation's core challenge, learning to observe our wandering mind dispassionately. These wandering thoughts stem from the brain's default mode network, which includes the cortical midline structures, our brain's self-app. While essential for social functioning, this mental machinery causes mind wandering for 30 to 50% of our waking hours, often leading to unhappiness. The Buddha challenged the concept of an eternal self by examining five components: physical form, feelings, perceptions, volitions, and consciousness. Their impermanence and uncontrollability contradicted the Vedic belief in an unchanging essence within each person. While not denying the experience of selfhood, the Buddha questioned any permanent entity behind it, similar to David Hume's later observation that consciousness is merely a theater of changing perceptions. The brain's self-app, located in cortical midline structures, activates during self-reflection and quiets during mindfulness meditation, enabling practitioners to view experiences impersonally. There is anger versus I am angry. The brain structure itself reveals this fiction of unity. Split brain patients demonstrate separate consciousnesses, while neuroscientist David Eagleman describes the brain as a team of rivals, much like Inside Out's competing emotions. The Buddha considered the true miracle to be metacognition, the ability to observe feelings, perceptions, and thoughts as they arise and fade without identifying with them. This capacity to think about thought objectively appears unique to humans. Brodmann Area 10, a matchbox-sized region in the orbitofrontal cortex that's twice as large in humans as in other great apes, shows resistance to aging in long-term meditators. Working with the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, it enables switching between two modes, a self-referential narrative mode and a present-focused being mode. Meditation strengthens this cognitive switching ability. The insula, hidden within a brain fissure, may be the seat of conscious awareness. During mindfulness practice, it updates our internal representation, reducing gaps between expectation and reality. Research suggests its role in spiritual experiences. Stimulation of the anterior insula has produced states of bliss and unity that mirror meditators' experiences. The Buddha taught that mindfulness breaks the chain of suffering through dependent origination. Modern neuroscience links our denial of impermanence to the brain's default mode network, which creates an illusion of an unchanging self. Depression involves excessive default network activity and rumination. Without treatment, relapse risks reach 50 to 80%. Mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, MBCT, helps by changing one's relationship to negative thoughts, reducing relapse risk by 34% overall and 43% for those with multiple episodes, showing particular promise for individuals with childhood trauma. Research shows remarkable brain activity in experienced meditators. Tibetan monks generate powerful gamma rhythms during compassion meditation, electrical oscillations stronger than typically observed in healthy individuals. Accepting impermanence can free one from fear of death, as demonstrated by terminal patients who experience heightened awareness. Television dramatist Dennis Potter, facing terminal cancer, noted, "We forget that life can only be defined in the present tense. That nowness has become so vivid to me, I'm almost serene." This explains why wealth often fails to increase happiness. Our attachment creates suffering. Despite technological advances, our minds remain unchanged. The Buddha's seven factors of enlightenment offer both a spiritual path and practical framework: calm, concentration, mindfulness, investigation, energy, equanimity, and happiness. The Buddha's insights provide not an escape from reality, but a way to face it with clarity. By understanding our minds, we can transform them by seeing clearly what's already here.